You're listening to Real Women Courageous Wisdom, hosted by Women for One truth teller, my friend and author, Kara Bradley. Real Women Courageous Wisdom is a podcast series featuring Women for One truth tellers, everyday women and kindred spirits passionate about sharing their journeys and inspiring others.
Hey everyone, it's Kara Bradley here for another fabulous episode with a Women for One truth teller. I am super excited today to have Regina Cates with us. Regina is an author, podcaster, speaker, and get this, superhero and positivity junkie. I had to hold myself from saying too much with Regina before we started recording this because I've got a lot of questions and I know this is going to be a really powerful episode. Thank you so much for being with us today, Regina.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a great honor.
Well, and thank you as well for sharing with Women for One, for being a truth teller. It's amazing to have women from all over the world sharing their stories. And can you tell us a little bit about your experience and how you came to be a truth teller?
Oh, goodness. You know, I have friends such as Heather Ashamara who were truth tellers, and I went on the website one day and I said, wow, this is an incredible creation. What a powerful thing for women all over the world. And I'd love to share a little bit of who I am and what I do to help empower other women too.
Beautiful.
So I'm just grateful to be among so many incredible women sharing so much incredible power.
Yeah, I agree. I feel the same way. Very humbled and honored to be amongst the stories
yes.
and experiences. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you are a positivity junkie. I love that.
Yes, I am. I'm like a terminal Pollyanna for sure. You know, the world seems to be going to hell in a handbasket. I'm the one going, wait a second. Let's look at the bright side here. You know, so that's just who I am, Kara. It is, I think, who I have been since birth. I came in with just this incredible attitude and this understanding. And I couldn't figure out at the time how I had this understanding of how we're all connected and how this life is certainly temporary, but also the proving ground, shall we speak, to connect with our soul, the divine part of us. And I think that the way that we do that, any of us do this, women, men, any of us, is really to concentrate on the positive, what we can offer in life that's going to make the world a better place, make us a better place. We can't control or change anybody else, but we sure can do a good job on us. And hopefully people will, you know, like what they see. Maybe we rub off on them a little bit.
Yeah, I agree with you. And you know, being positive, I consider myself a pretty positive person.
Sure.
And being positive sometimes, I mean, it kind of throws people off a little bit. Wouldn't you say?
Well, I think that we live within a society, certainly at this time, Kara, where you're dealing with fear monger. You know, fear has become a marketable commodity, and we're exposed to it 24 hours a day through so many different mediums. And I think that in order to really see the world as it is, rather than what we're being told it is, we have to keep that positive perspective. And I know that it makes some people nervous, but I think it's because they don't understand that there's so much more good going on in the world than there is bad. We just hear about the bad junk. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think it's so important for people like us and what we're doing to keep that positivity. Doesn't mean our head's buried in the sand. We very much know what's going on. I feel it energetically. I feel it in my heart every day. However, you know, the light is always going to outshine the dark. Mm-hmm. And we all have to stick together and just say, hey, you know, we're in this for the long haul.
Wow. Yes, I feel it. I feel it coming right through the computer screen. I agree. We are all like these little electrical outlets, you know, that if we can just continue to keep ourselves charged, we do charge each other. You know, even passing in a car, you know, sometimes you just pass, you stop at the red light and you look over at somebody else. I mean, there's a charge right there, right? We can
sure.
share that.
Sure. That's intimacy. And that's what we need to cultivate, even at the most casual level of smiling at someone in the car next to us, allowing someone to cut in line in front of us. Those are the little respectful things that we can do that show other people that they're seen, that they're respected. And that, I think, is what I work on every day to help change the world. The little things that we can do.
Oh, I love that. I love that. I have a very informal practice. I call it my acknowledgement practice. And I try to every day in some way acknowledge somebody out of the blue. So it may be somebody in the store. You know, I really love that necklace. Like you told me, as soon as you saw me, you really loved my sweater, my color of my fleece. You know, it's just, it can be so simple and it's so charging for me to acknowledge and see others.
Certainly, because we all want to be seen. We all want to be, recognized and honored and respected. And I think one of the things that I like to say is treating other people as you want to be treated does not mean waiting for them to go first. So I am a real positivity junkie and proponent of going first. You know, I'm going to smile at you on the street. I'm going to say hello. I'm going to shine that Pollyanna. Because I think in our society, and again, with this culture of fear that is out there and all the violence we see on TV and all the violence we're exposed to, I think a lot of people have become afraid. And I think that the more of us that can go out there in a genuine way and just be heartful, lead with our heart, title of my book, lead with your heart to get out and say, hey, you know, I see you and I honor you and you're safe with me. Everything's cool.
Yes. Now I have an important question to ask you, because it is so easy to talk about this, but in my own experience, it wasn't until I really started to love myself. It wasn't until I really started to practice that. And I know that this is so much about who you are and what you teach, your mission to help you love and be loved. But it starts right here, doesn't it?
Yeah, just like HGTV says, it starts at home. You know? I think a lot of us really mess up relationships. And I think that we experience too much stress and too much anxiety in relationship, because we really are going into it with the idea is, if I just love more, he will change. If I just love more, she will change. And I really had to come to the point of, as long as I'm looking outside, I'm not looking within to see what I need to change. I also say something when I'm working with people, and that is that you're a half of a relationship. I'm half of a relationship. We come together to be the best whole relationship. But on our own, we have to have a whole relationship with ourselves before we can enter into that healthy relationship with someone else. And I think for so many of us, at least the people that I meet, we're not whole on our own. And I think we need to be whole on our own. And that process is learning what love is and what it means to give it to you every day so that I can give it to you every day.
Yes.
I got to give it to me first in order to have it with them to give. And I think that's one of the fallacies that we've got growing up on fairy tales. You know, the knight rides in, and for a gay woman, I could really care if the knight rode in or not. You know, little princess riding in, it might be a different story for me. I don't know. But we do have to have that within, and we do have to know what love is. And that's what my mission is, because, Kara, I didn't know what love was growing up. I really didn't. And I've put into my book what I believe the behaviors of love are. And that's how you feel loved when I give them to you. And that's how I know I'm loved when I receive those.
Lovely, lovely, beautifully said. So what are some of the small tips for us listening to get started in just befriending ourselves and just being kinder to ourselves first? Because, you know, I got to tell you, I was kicking and screaming with all this like love, loving kindness. I'm a Brooklyn girl, tough Italian chick, you know, don't tell me what to do. But this, you know, when I really started to love myself and be kind and gentle and playful with myself, I started to really soften. I mean, people have noticed it. So what are some of the ways that you advise people or have learned yourself to start making friends with yourself?
Yeah, give yourself a break, number one, okay? You're going to screw up. You're going to screw up a lot. And if you're like me, you might screw up a whole ton of times. But it's part of the process, you know? So give yourself a break, number one. Welcome challenges as opportunities to grow. Every time you do something that does not feel loving towards yourself or others, you get an opportunity to look at that and say, hey, how could I change this? That's extremely important, Kara, when we're talking about self-love, because growing up gay, persecuted by the church, it was really tough to love myself. In fact, there's no way in the world that I started loving myself until I was able to say, wait a second, I'm a unique person. I was born this way. what other people think of me is not really important to who I am. It's how I behave and how I treat other people that makes me feel loving. And so when I really had that shift, and then I really began to understand what love meant, and that meant that I had to give the caring, the nurturing, the patience, the understanding, the forgiveness, the acceptance, and the 26 others that I named in the book to me first. And once I started doing that, just like you did, then we're able to feel those. You feel what it feels to forgive, and then you can give that to someone else. But you got to do that all with you first, because you got to love yourself first to love others well. It just doesn't work the other way around.
Boy, I'll tell you, you know, this is such incredible wisdom, and it still blows my mind that we teach our children everything else but. I mean, even honestly, even our religions, you know, organized religion tries, but to really sit and practice all of that first towards yourself, because you ain't getting it outside unless it's you recognize it inside, is what you're saying.
Well, that's true, and it's the relationship you do have with yourself. And I had a horrible relationship with myself because everybody, God and everybody else, had abandoned me, told me I was going to hell from the time I walked into church. I was 4 years old when I knew I was gay. And so at that point, you know, I said, wait a second, no. You know, this is something way beyond what it is that I chose to do. No, this is who I am, and I need to be aligned with who I am, and how do I survive in a world where I am so very different? You know, Kara, I didn't know until I was 21 years old that there were any other gay people on the planet. Thought I was the only one. Talk about an egocentric, like, little perspective, you know. But it was also very lonely. So each one of us, Kara, goes through stuff. That's just part of my story. Each one of us goes through stuff where we're persecuted, bullied, ridiculed, been made fun of. That is totally the opposite of love. We see it on the TV. We see sarcasm in families. So in order to change our world, we change how we view, how we speak to one another, how we model correct behavior and partnership behavior, relationship behavior for one another. We monitor what we watch on that television and turn it off so our children don't think it's okay to treat other people as they see, you know. And I think that will give us a long... I think it will give us a really good foundation on what love is. We have to be taught what love is. Mm-hmm. You can see from the events just of the other day, people are taught how to hate.
Yes.
It's easy to be taught how to hate. It's also easy to be taught to love, but you got to know how in order to teach. And that's my mission in life. And that's the whole reason I wrote the book, Lead With Your Heart. It's all about how to love yourself so that you can love others well.
Oh, beautiful. Yes. So do you have practices, any practices for the people that you work with, just simple practices to help them speak to themselves differently or love themselves? Is there any, like, what's the starting point in all this? I know that's...
my favorite one and the starting point of all of this is learning how to master a mind that has a mind of its own. This is the steady stream of justification and rationalization that I'm not good enough and mommy thought I was this and I should have been that and all of that. And once when I work individually with people throughout the world and when I do workshops and even on the online courses that I have, Kara, this is the focus of my work, because once we unravel these thoughts that have been put into our head and are still being put into our head, then we can lead with the higher wisdom of our heart. And we have to, because our brain is a tool for the soul that we are. Mm-hmm. And we've got to shift that position within society. You know, it's great. Your head is great to remember a grocery list, to help you put together the TV, to do what all of these other things. But your head does not feel, Kara. Neither does mine. We cannot have relationships with our head. We have to have the feelings. We have to have the values. We have to have the moral and ethical guidelines that come from the soul of who we are, the heart of who we are. That's why Lead With Your Heart is so important, because it switches those perspectives. So losing ego, mastering a mind with a mind of its own, that's the first step. Yep, that's it.
And so how do you start to separate from all that? How does that happen?
Yeah, for me and for those people that I work with and anything that I'll talk to you about is that you really have to become aware of what's going on in here. And that would be going back to your other question of how do you become a good friend with yourself? Well, you stay connected to, here's a big one, and responsible for the steady stream of conversation that goes on in your head. And when you're connected to and responsible for that, then you can change it from limiting, from self-deprecating, from judgmental, to a different process where you start seeing the world as it really is instead of the world that you've been told to look at. Yourself. Everybody told me I was going to hell, I was ugly, I was, you know, whatever, a spawn of the devil, whatever. You know, I've heard it pretty much all for just being gay. I had to unravel all of those thoughts, and I actually had to do a process of saying, wait a minute, who said that? Why does that make it real? Why is it that I need to believe that? So it's the same thing for you or me or anyone. Somebody might have grown up with a weight issue, whatever. And so they've been told that they're fat all of their lives, and they've had this particular stream. Now, they might be able to do things physically that will help them lose that, but the thing that they have to change up here first is that steady stream of conversation that says that they're worthless.
Mm, yes.
I wasn't worthless as a gay woman. Mm-mm, look what happened.
So how did that switch happen? You know, you said at 21, you finally realized that there were other gay women in this world. How did you start to just identify from all this belief structure that you grew up with?
Well, I did that at 18 when I told my parents I was gay and I was put into a mental institution to be changed. I was sent to a psychiatrist to be changed. Now, I have to stop and tell you right now, ladies and gentlemen, listening throughout the world, my parents are my best friend. In fact, I am very blessed that on the 25th, which is 2 days from now, I am marrying my partner, Barbara, right here in Los Angeles. We have been engaged, I guess, for like almost 13 years. And my 91-year-old mother is flying to Los Angeles to be here for the ceremony. That's how your world changes as a result of love. So I continued to love myself, Kara, and because of that, because of how proud I was of me and the good person that I really have tried to be beyond gay, because gay doesn't make you bad, mm-hmm. You know? I wanted to be gay, make me really a nice, loving person. The world has changed, and I believe love is that power that changes it. I've certainly seen it firsthand in my family because they are my biggest fans. So we got through with that little psychiatric thing where the psychiatrist told them, listen, this is funny. I'm not going to change her. She was born that way. And that was for the first time. It was like, yes, thank goodness I have validation, you know.
Wow.
It was fantastic. Yeah.
Wow. Well, you certainly have a story to share. I mean, this is for anybody that feels ostracized or different or, you know, whatever. We all go through that in some capacity in our lives. It is really to disentangle is what you're saying. You disentangling from the beliefs of others, you know, in so many respects is more challenging, I think, is to find it's that's like the final straw when you can finally let go and realize that what people are believing is not real.
That's true. That really is true. And I think one thing that we deal with now is disenfranchised, people feeling disenfranchised, not a part of something. And that's the reason that I am so passionate about building Romancing Your Soul to be a global place where people feel just like Women for One, a global place where people feel connected, where they don't feel alone, because we are all in this together. We are all connected. And we need to let people know that it's okay. You could be part of my clan. You could be part of my family and my friends. Even if it's online, you are not alone. And I think that's going to help change the world very much. Yeah. Whether we're gay, straight, black, white, women, whatever we deal with, you know, whatever we have, we need to all let us know that we are all in this together and you have a place. I think that will help tremendously.
Yeah, and that's one of the beautiful things about the internet is really that you don't need to be next to somebody to be connected to them. You can find your tribe online. So tell us about Romancing Your Soul. Tell us about your community and all of the work that you're doing.
Well, Romancing Your Soul is basically that. It is a business that I run, that I help people throughout the world, whether that be through Facebook or Periscope or my podcast that is being downloaded in over 110 countries around the world now, which is cool. I think we have like 130 episodes so far. It's really great. Through my book, Lead With Your Heart, through the personal work that I do with Kara. I'm just getting out in as many ways and as many places as I can just to spread the word that we are all fantastic and all we need sometimes just a little tweaking and we can move on and become part of that Heartlight team.
I love it. I love it. Wow. So tell us about what you're doing on Periscope. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about what Periscope is for those that don't know yet.
Kathy was here. Kathy is my right arm. But Periscope is something new where you have live video that goes out through Twitter. And I recently, in the last couple of weeks, have been dealing, last 3 weeks, been dealing with some issues with my eyes. One was a detached retina in my right eye that is still going on. And the other one was a sty in my left eye. So I thought, maybe now's not the time to really start Periscope, since I can't see and you can't see anything other than this. But Periscope is a wonderful way for me to take what I do on my podcast or in my workshops or even information from the book and apply it and give information to people throughout the world. So we're going to start that early April. It goes out in live time and it goes out to everyone throughout the world. It's right. Fantastic. Yeah.
Wow. Fantastic.
Yeah. Well. Looking forward.
Yes. So, tell us where, I think it's romancingyoursoul.com is your website.
Ma'am. Yes, ma'am. That is it. Yeah. And at Romancing Your Soul on Facebook, Romance Your Soul on Twitter and on Periscope. And the name of the book is Lead With Your Heart, Creating a Life of Love, Compassion, and Purpose.
Well, thank you for being you. And thank you for enduring and experiencing and embracing all of what you have lived through to then share it with the world. Truly, truly a gift.
You know, Kara, there's not a day that goes by that I don't feel extraordinarily blessed. I feel I'm the luckiest person on the planet. I've gone through a lot of junk, but I have to tell you, I am who I am because I didn't run from it. I didn't hide. I wasn't fearful. I turned and faced it. And I realized the freedom that we get when doing that. And that's why I'm a superhero that will stand by someone and say, don't turn around and run. Let's face this, because by doing so, you can get through it too.
Oh, beautiful. I'm going to end on that. Thank you. Thank you, Regina. And thank you all for listening. If you're like me, I'm feeling the spark. There's no doubt about it. And the positivity from this positivity junkie. So thank you all. Best of luck in a couple of days as you get married. So many congratulations to you. And Kathy?
Barbara.
Barbara, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
and
Kathy's,
to Barbara.
Kathy's somebody that works with me. I think Barbara might be a little jealous of
Kathy. Well, congratulations. It's a win for the world.
Well, thank you. I'm very blessed too.
Thank you for listening to Women for One's podcast series, Real Women, Courageous Wisdom. If you like what you just heard, we hope you will subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and leave a review. If you're interested in becoming a Women for One truth teller, visit womenforone.com to learn more. For more information about our host, Kara Bradley, visit her site, karabradley.net. Join us next time for another enlightening conversation with powerful, everyday women.